I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings the word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.
Praise the Lord, St. Matthews. Praise the Lord, St. Matthews. Let's stand up on your feet. Activate your voices this morning and give God some praise this morning. We serve a risen God this morning. Hallelujah. We come to give him all praise. We come to give him all honor this morning because he is worthy. Amen. As all heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's look to the Lord. Our Father, our God, we're so grateful, thankful, and blessed this morning, Lord, that you have allowed us to come out to worship together this morning, Father. Father, we pray right now that you inhabit this worship experience this morning. Loose all shackles this morning, Father. Set us free, Father. Father, we're so thankful for the blood that you shed on Calvary, Father. You didn't have to do it, but you did it for me. And we thank you, Lord. Father, we pray, Father, for this nation, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will just inhabit the White House, Father. Change things, Father. Let them know that you are still in control. But today, God, we come to worship you, Father. We come to thank you, Father. We come to clap our hands. We come to stomp our feet. We come to say, Father, thank you for another day's journey. Inhabit this worship experience. Let it start right now with us, Father. And we shall ever give you all praise, honor, and glory. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. And amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together. Hallelujah. Give God some praise.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. We all know what today is. He got up on today. So we rejoice. Hallelujah. Song says, just for me. What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than a song we sing. So much more than the emblem on the chain. But it means that I am free from the chains of slavery. Thank you. your mouth just for me. Say just for me, yeah. He went to Calvary and he died just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. One last time. Oh, how say just for me. Put your hands together. I said, put your hands together. If God did it just for you, oh, come on, he did it just for me. Years ago, he died on Calvary. For you and me, he died. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody, have some church with me on here today. Oh, come on. He got us. He got it!
Let's go.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came to have church on today. I don't know about y'all. I didn't come to look at you. I didn't come to see what you had on. It's Easter Sunday, y'all. I came to give God some praise because he got up for me. He died for my sins. Woo! He did what nobody else could do. He did what nobody else could do. Hallelujah! He's the one and only true living God. And we came to give him the glory. We come to give him the praise. So come on and clap your hands and give God the praise in here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He's worthy! He's worthy! Hallelujah! Your hands with us.
What he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what Endures forever, giving all honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and honor to our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon Sr. I would be remiss if we didn't give honor to him in his absence. Pastor, amen. Come on, let's give a hand clap for our senior pastor. Amen. Amen. Pastor sends his love. And he told me to tell you, Happy Resurrection Day. Come on, let's give him a hand clap. Let us keep our pastor in prayer, and let's give him another hand clap for well-being. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, who art in heaven. Thank you for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we are here this morning to praise, worship, honor, and celebrate the resurrection of him, Lord Jesus Christ. We may not know the minute or the hour that he rose from the tomb, but we do know it was this morning over 2,000 years ago that he got up from the grave, a borrowed tomb, with all power in his hand. Lord Jesus got up with resurrection power. He got up with healing power. He got up with salvation power. He got up with holy power. He got up with loving power. He got up with praising power. We need to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just for what he did and who he is. Lord Jesus, just as you have searched us and all that are gathered here this morning, you know our sitting down and our rising up. You understand our thoughts from afar. For every word I know, you placed it upon my tongue. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day in which you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit made. Bless our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond Gordon, and his family this day. And bless every member that are gathered under the sound of my voice. And those wanted to attend, but are watching. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Come on, let's give him a hand clap for praise. Come on, let's praise. I don't know about you. I don't know what you come to do today, but I come to praise the Lord. I come to glorify him. I come to magnify him. I come to exalt him. Come on, let's praise his holy name. We come this morning to lift up our Savior, Jesus Christ, not Hindu, not Buddha, not the Jehovah Witness, not the lost tribe of Israel, not Satan, not Donald Trump, not the Mormons. We come to worship Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He is a kind God. He's an almighty God. He's a God that has never erred. He's a God that loves every one of you. I come to tell you, there's no one like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There was a blind man, and his parents said, he is of age. Ask him yourself. Well, the Jews again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner, or I not know, but he said, I know that this man is a sinner. And the brother answered him and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know, I was blind, but now I can see. David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I've seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. And the songwriter said, David, the 23rd song said, he also, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou rod, thy staff, they comfort me. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We love you. We thank you so much for your resurrection. And now, Lord, Habakkuk said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And now you may be seated. Please let the congregants in. Now we will have a prayer from our own sister, Christine Fagan, as they come in. Come on in.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do recognize you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we cannot do anything without you, but Lord, we ask that you come and superintend in this service, Lord. Lord, I'm asking right now that you allow the Holy Spirit to reign in each of our hearts right now. Lord, we ask that even if it's someone in here that doesn't know you, that they come to know you, that they give their life to Christ today, Lord. Because without you, Lord, we can do nothing. And we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you and we recognize you. Lord, I thank you today, Lord. Lord, I'm asking right now in a special prayer for our pastor, Lord. Lord, that you be with him today, Lord. That you raise him up, Lord, that he be able to come back to us, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you be with his wife as she comfort him, Lord, as she cares for him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Do we have any visitors out there today? Do we have any visitors? Thank you. On behalf of our pastor, Pastor Gordon, we would like to welcome you and ask that even if you don't have a church, that you might come back again and visit or join us today when the call comes. We welcome you today. God bless.
Bless the Lord. Please come in. Please come in and be seated. Thank God for you. This is the day that he has made. And we're going to thank Lord Jesus Christ for this day one more time. Let's just give him another hand clap of praise. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Please come in. At this time, as you are seated, we will have three scriptures. First scripture will be from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, by Minister Mike Brown, followed by Reverend Leroy McNair, Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 10, followed by Reverend Gary Tunstall, Micah 6, 8. Amen. And they will come in that order. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Matthews. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it reads as follows. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Here's where you're going to get excited. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
The next scripture is found in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, a well-known and important scripture, verse 1 through 10. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He brought us as a lamb to the slaughter, And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land. Of the living and the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Happy Resurrection Day, St. Matthews. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 He's going to reign. Right. He's going to reign forever and ever.
Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. Giving all honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we come to worship today, we've come to pray today, and we've come to give today. And now it is offering time, and God loves a cheerful giver. You cannot be God-given no matter how hard you try. We're only taking up one offering today, and that is our tithe. Just remember what a tithe is. A tithe is 10% of what God has given you since your last tithe. If you made $2,000 since your last tithe, then God gets the first $200. If you made $500 since your last tithe, then God gets $50. If you made $300 since your last tithe, then God gets the first $30. Amen? So give as the Lord has blessed you, and you will continue to be blessed. Amen? Choir. Thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Choir, I'm sorry. Ushers. And deacons. Thank you, Lord, for your giving thanks. Please stand. Pastor Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon, Sr., has set the table once again with the spiritual fruit from heaven. He has chosen four speakers. Reverend Jackson, number one, Minister. Thank you. Minister Ed Arnold, number two. And Reverend Gary Tunstall, number three. And Reverend Dan Spencer, number four. When they come, I ask that you would just give the Lord some praise for these men of God. Amen. I don't have time to introduce them for you visitors, but I'm sure all of you have heard them before. Amen. And I'm telling you, we're going to have a hard time in the Lord this day. For it is the day of resurrection. Come on, let's give him another hand clap. Lord Jesus, bless this congregation. Our senior pastor for 37 years of hard work. Lord Jesus, with Christ's benefits, and bless your word in Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Today, over 2,000 years ago, Lord Jesus Christ got up from the grave. He got up from the tomb, and the tomb was even borrowed. He got up with all power, and no one thought they would see him again. Even though he had raised Lazarus and raised other people from the dead and healed the sick and healed the blind, and he did so many miracles, it was amazing. He had to be God all by himself. And no one thought when he died and he said his last prayer to his Father, Father, unto you I commit my spirit. When he said his last prayer, no one expected to see him. No mere man could have done this, but Jesus wasn't a mere man. He was the Son of God, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father or goes to heaven without him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Christ was resurrected so that salvation was for all humanity that believed Jesus Christ was God the Son. He didn't get up for us to buy a Cadillac or get up for us to buy a Benz or get up for us to buy a Harley Davidson or get us up to get a weave in our hair. He got up for our eternal life. See, if you are unsaved today, we will challenge you at the end of this service. I come to tell you, hopefully today you will please the Lord Jesus Christ by he accepted his gift of eternal life. We that are saved, or you that will get saved, will have the same life and everlasting life as Christ with God, our Father, and that is eternal life for all that believe. I come to tell you, the third day, on that third day, Jesus was resurrected. However, almost certainly Jesus did this himself. Lord Jesus anticipated a great two-sided eschatological event occurring after 3 days, when the Lord Jesus resurrected with all power. One was the raising of the temple, symbolizing a new Israel. 3 days after its destruction, he said in John, Jesus said to them, destroy the temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Right. Acts 6:14 tells us, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. Jesus' own resurrection, 3 days after his death, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And finally, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he got up, he appeared to Cephas or Peter. Then he appeared to the 12 disciples. Then he appeared to James. Then he appeared to all of the apostles. And last of all, he appeared also to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I'm here to tell you today. I come to tell you. Reverend Jackson come to tell you that if Lord Jesus Christ had not called me in, I would be in hell this morning. Had it not been for the Lord Jesus Christ on this man's side, where would I be? I was a born sinner, shaped in sin, grew up in sin, knew nothing but sin. Call me sin. What's your name? Sin. I'm a sinner. Going to hell. I thought it was some equal rights. If everybody go to heaven, I go to hell. I got as much as they did. But little did I know. I met a man from Galilee. And I tell you, he saved a sin-sick soul. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Where would I be without my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ? He's always worthy to be praised. And this morning, he's worthy. In the 10 a.m., he's worthy. He's worthy of lunchtime. He's worthy of dinner time. He's worthy at midnight. He's worthy at supper time. Anytime, he's worthy to be praised.
Happy Resurrection Sunday, church. I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for saving me some 53 plus years ago. I thank him for my wife, who will be 53 married in a week. Okay? Secondly, I want to thank our pastor, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon, for being faithful to this church 37 years. Some of you can't relate to that because you're not even 37 years old. But he was faithful to his pastor, Dr. Walker, before he was faithful to St. Matthew's, before he was even here. Amen. Pastor Gordon is a preacher. He is an evangelist. He cares for people's souls. He doesn't want people to die and go to hell. He wants you to get saved and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I thank him for this opportunity to stand before you. Now, I think Reverend Jackson has been reading my notes. You'll see why. Matthew 28:6 reads, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He is risen are the three greatest words Christians have ever heard. Okay? Everything we believe hinges on whether Jesus was raised from the dead the third day. The resurrection is that important. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then you and I surely won't rise from our deathbed either to eternal life in heaven. If Jesus Christ is not resurrected, we won't be resurrected. In fact, apart from Christ's resurrection, we would have no Savior, no salvation, and no hope of eternal life without him. The resurrection is about life and the fact that Jesus died and he rose again from the dead. John 11:25 says, Jesus, cried out, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus was either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. You have no other choice. I choose to believe he is my Lord and my Savior, and he rose again for me. Jesus had spoke of his resurrection multiple times during his ministry. Mark 9, 31 and 32 reads, For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Listen to verse 32. But they, that's his disciples, understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. The disciples did not understand Jesus' words until after his resurrection. The woman at the tomb who came to anoint the body of Jesus surely didn't believe Jesus would be resurrected from the dead. And the disciples did not expect Jesus to be resurrected, although Jesus had predicted his death and resurrection many, many times. But you might be asking, who raised Jesus from the dead? That's a legitimate question. Let's examine the scriptures. Acts 2:3 says, Luke says this, This Jesus has God raised up. That's pretty clear. God raised Jesus from the dead. Let's see if we can make it even plainer, clearer. At Galatians 1:1, Paul tells us, And God the Father raised him from the dead. Now it's crystal clear who raised Jesus from the dead. God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. But somehow, it seems to, it appears to get more complex when we read what John writes at John 2, 19 through 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, the Jews, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days? Here it is. But he spoke of the temple of his body. Body. So we have Luke saying God raised Jesus from the dead. Paul says God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. And now we have Jesus saying he will raise his own body from the dead in 3 days. What we have here so far is two-thirds of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. All we need is for the Holy Spirit saying he raised Jesus from the dead. Let's see what Peter says at 1 Peter 3:18. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Also, Romans 8:11 says the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Now we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all claiming to have raised Jesus from the dead. That's the complete Godhead, or the doctrine of the Holy Trinity in the resurrection of Jesus. And there are many more Trinitarian texts that we don't have time to examine this morning. Remember, we believe in only one God who has been revealed as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. At John 20, 26 through 28, we have the story of the risen Jesus telling the apostle Thomas, who doubted that Jesus had risen from the dead, to touch his hands and thrust his hand into his side. Nowhere does it say Thomas ever touches Jesus. But at verse 28, Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." In the Greek, the language is stronger. It reads, "the Lord of me and the God of me." Thomas is a Jew, and he believes in only one God. But here we have Thomas calling Jesus the God of me. If Jesus were not God, he should have rebuked Thomas for saying to him, "the God of me." But in the very next verse, Jesus approves of what Thomas has said. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus said at Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And have the keys of hell and of death." If you are broken and searching for purpose and meaning in your life this morning, Jesus is your answer. In closing, I can't think of a better time to call upon Jesus for salvation. This is Resurrection Sunday morning. Don't let your heart become hardened to the point that the gospel message is no longer speaks to your heart. At the end of this morning's service, Reverend Jackson will ask you to come forward to proclaim to God that you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and pass from spending eternity in hell to spending eternity in heaven. Amen?
Father, in the name of Jesus, humbly bow before your presence this morning. So grateful for Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the resurrection Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for your blessings upon this service. We pray for our pastor. Pray that you would bring healing and strength to his body. We thank you, Lord God, for our pastor. It's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day. Good morning, St. Matthew's. For sake of time, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and starting at verse 5. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto him, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. He returned from the sepulchre and told all things unto the 11 and the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, the other women that were with him, which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." For a brief moment this morning, I'd like to use this thought. Believe it or not, he is risen. An American franchise founded in 1908 by Robert Ripley, dealt with the bizarre events that items so seem strange and unusual to readers or onlookers. It questioned the claims as being true. Not thereby, this franchise was given a popular name called Ripley's Believe It or Not. Our message taken from our scripture this morning is the good news of Jesus Christ, resurrected from the grave. The evidence of the resurrection is the central theme of the Christian faith. He is our Redeemer, Savior, Rock, and our hope for tomorrow and every day hereafter. In this world of sin, suffering, sorrow, we have an anchor that keeps us calm, steady, no matter what. And his ministry of reconciliation between God and man only comes through the result of his atoning death and resurrection. However, many people still question the resurrection and literally questioning the power of Almighty God. If God, who created all things, sustains all things, knows all things before they even happen, how is it so hard to believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave? He is the God of the resurrection. We find that the angel had rolled back the stone, and it was not that Jesus would get out the tomb, but that the women could get in. God wanted eyewitnesses to an empty tomb because the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees the resurrection of every believer. Are you with me this morning? The angel rolled back the stone, made a clear statement that there is no power higher or greater than God's power. And to make known again, he is the God of the resurrection. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Can you remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 23? It was at Pentecost. Peter stood and proclaimed and being filled with the Spirit of God. He said, him, Jesus, being delivered by the determining counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God raised up and loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. I come to serve notice to you this morning, St. Matthews, because he is the God of the resurrection. We have a spiritual resurrection. Ephesians 2:5 says, even while we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Because of God's resurrection, we have the forgiveness of sins. We have the forgiveness that was canceled out on the record of debt that set us free from the burden and penalty of sin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because of the God of the resurrection, he triumphed over powers and authorities. Jesus disarmed, triumphed over spiritual powers and authorities, demonstrating his victory over death, hell, and the grave. Colossians 2:13, blotting out our handwriting or ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took him out of the way, nailed to the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them. Because he's the God of the resurrection, we have freedom in Christ. Paul says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Just as Moses has lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Are you praying with me this morning? I'm so glad the Apostle Paul helps me to understand 1 Corinthians 15:51. I love this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Because he got up, we will get up. Are you with me? Paul says, he starts bragging. He says, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is sin. But the gift of God is eternal life and victory through Jesus Christ. So as I close this morning, I'm reminded of Resurrection Sunday. It was a good time that we take this message to a dark, dying, and hell-bound world. I thank God that I serve the God of the resurrection. You ask me how I know? Because he walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of Jesus telling me to fight on.
Thank God he's the God of the resurrection. Therefore, any man in Christ, he's a new creation. All things passed away, and behold, all things become new. I know because I've got the resurrection power on the inside. I don't know what I used to do, but thank God I'm changed. My God to thee. Choir.
y'all know he's not dead. He's alive. He is alive this morning. Amen. Let's give him praise. Give him praise. Because he's alive. He's alive and well this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Have a seat if you can. Put your seatbelts on. Happy Resurrection Morning. Amen. Let's give those preachers a hand. Because they was all up in my notes. I greet you in a name that's above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Well, this is a great morning. Amen. Hey, keep it going. Thank you. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad to be here this morning. As most of y'all looking beautiful, of course. Happy Resurrection Morning. Giving honor to my resurrected Lord, who is alive and doing very well. Amen. And we, to the angel of this house, Pastor Gordon, thank you so much for this opportunity to stand before your people. We must continue to keep him and Sister Gordon in prayer. He's been my mentor for almost 30 years. Amen. Let's give him a hand. As most of the ministers here and all of you. And we don't take the word of God for granted, because he gives the word of God every week. And he brings it. And he's raised us up for a time such as this. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Luther. Because they set the table, let me tell you. And to my wonderful wife, 20 years. 21 in August. August 9th at 2 o'clock. I remember. Because I was looking at the clock. Our scripture is very short scripture. John 11:25. And it says this: Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for allowing us to be here to celebrate this resurrection day. Lord, we pray that those that are saved would be revived and strengthened and just given encouragement for the journey. And those, Lord, that don't know you, I pray that they bend their heart to you, Lord, that they accept you, that they learn to walk with you, Lord, and that they have a burning in their heart for you. We thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John, an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. The predominant theme of this book is a dual response of rejection and reception. And let me explain to you. In John 1:11, it says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then John 20:31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This is why the book of John is many times for a new Christian or a new believer, they direct them to the book of John. Unlike the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke,
they call the synoptic gospels, meaning that all the gospels basically tell the same story, but from different viewpoints. Each author has a purpose and a purpose through which they're writing the letter. But John is a little bit different. It has some of the same things in there, but John's priority, John's emphasis is on the deity of Christ, showing Christ who he is, and that believing through his name, you will be saved. There are seven I am statements in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. There are also seven miracles in the book of John. And all of them point to Jesus, to show him as God. The theme this morning the pastor has given us is he is the God of the resurrection. The word Anastasia is a Greek word for the word resurrection, which means rising from a seat, that of Christ, that of men at the end of this present age, the resurrection of certain ones' history who were restored to life. This morning I want to talk about the person. Everybody say the person, the proof, and the power of the resurrection. I give you permission to pull out your phones if you want to take notes on your phone. I'm just saying three things: the person, the proof, and the power. Let's talk about the person of the resurrection. Who is Jesus, and what makes him unique from all other religions? A lot of young people today and just people today say, oh, yeah, there's many ways to any ways to God and everything. But if you look at Jesus, he's very, very unique. He said this in Luke 19:10. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus didn't die to form a religion, but he died to get us right with him. He wasn't trying to make a bunch of rules and this and that, but he was looking for a relationship. Jesus did what no other religious leader did. He was raised from the dead. So if you don't know anything else, that's what you know, that he was raised from the dead. He was resurrected. As far as I know, Buddha hasn't been resurrected. Confucius hasn't been resurrected. And Muhammad, who died in 632, has not been resurrected. New Age, Jehovah's, whatever you want to go, if it's not Jesus Christ, none of them have been raised from the dead. Amen? He has a name that's above every name. And every time you come in this sanctuary, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You can confess now voluntarily, or you can confess later mandatorily. It's your choice. The choice is yours. The proof, not only a person, but the proof of the resurrection. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. As a former police officer, if I arrested someone, I had to have proof. I couldn't just go in there and say what I feel or what I think. I had to have solid evidence. I had to have either a credible witness or evidence, physical evidence. And so the resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact. And that should be the same for us. We have witnesses and we have evidence. Let me give you some of the historical facts about Jesus's resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15:14-19, Paul is stressing the importance of the resurrection. And Ed, you're all up in my notes, okay, when we're talking about this. But you know what? Redundancy is good. Paul said it's good that I keep reminding you of the same things, because it will help you grow and it'll help you be submitted in your head. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15:14-19. In verse 14, He says, and if Christ, he says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is also in vain. It's senseless for me to be up here if he didn't rise from the dead. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that, dead rise not. In other words, all preachers and witnesses of the resurrection would be liars. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you are still yet in your sins. No one would be forgiven. No one would be redeemed if he didn't rise from the dead. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ perish. Verse 18. All believers that have died in Christ is gone. Nothing. And the last one, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Because of the sacrifices in life, there would be nothing to look forward to if this was it. If this is, you know, some of our lives are not very pleasant. Some are pretty miserable. And if this was it, hey, you might as well party up, drink, have fun, do this and do that. Because there's no use in waiting for eternal life or striving or sacrificing for eternal life. Let me give you a few proven facts about the impact of the resurrection. Jesus died, and these can be confirmed in historians. Jesus died to a Roman crucifixion. He didn't pass out and come back to life. He died. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. His disciples became lost, depressed, and scattered due to fear. It wasn't like a perfect world. I mean, we see all these. We see the Apostle Paul. We see all the disciples and everything. We thought they weren't perfect. And so they thought that when they thought, because they didn't fully understand everything that was going on. So they thought that when he died, he died. The only one that was at the cross was John. Everybody else had, they scattered. His tomb was empty after 3 days. Women first discovered his empty tomb, which at the time was kind of unusual because women were not highly regarded as witnesses. But the Bible clearly states that the woman was the first to see him or to see that empty tomb. Another one, a large number of disciples individually ate, drank, and talked with him after the resurrection. They sat on they were on the beach with him. They ate fish. I don't know what kind of fish it was, Reverend McNair. No. The disciples went from fear to faith, from cowards to brave. The apostles committed their life to Christ, and they were beaten, tortured, and martyred. Now, if the resurrection was a lie, do you think that people would give up their life for a lie? People will barely die for the truth, but not for a lie. And it became the central message of the church. Many eyewitnesses in Jerusalem, in a tight-knit community where everyone knew each other, that's where he revealed himself. You know, if it had been a lie, it would have been, you know, quickly dispelled. The Christian church grew as a result of the resurrection. The church switched from the traditional Saturday service to Sunday service because he rose early Sunday morning. So these are impacts. These are things that change. Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul after he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, Acts 9:1-9. And then the last but not least, he appeared to over 500 people during the 40 days after his resurrection. And that number could be as high as 600. Now think about this. In a witness or a case, it only takes one good witness to win a case or to convince the case. So you had at least 500 that witnessed this. So it was real. It wasn't something that was made up. It wasn't something that was a fairy tale. It was real. And let me give you one more thing. All the prophecies concerning Jesus, which is about 300, some math whizzes estimated that if 48 of the 300 prophecies, messianic prophecies, came true, it would be a number 10 to the 157th power. Now, I wasn't good in math, but I knew that's a big number. They said that you can win the lottery a couple times before all these prophecies would come true. But you better not go out to the store. But I'm just saying that it's reliable. Our word of God is true. And it's not, sometimes we don't know because we got to get into it. And we got to read it. And not just the person of the resurrection, and I'm getting a brain cramp. The person, the proof, right? The proof, the proof of the resurrection. But we're going to talk about the power of the resurrection. And the power of the resurrection is where we want to stay for just a minute. By believing, we can have eternal life. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This was a dialogue in the raising of Lazarus, which happened probably about a week or so before Jesus was crucified. And this was like the final nail in the coffin, because the raising of Lazarus, a lot of people saw it and they knew what had happened. This is the fifth I am statement. And this was Martha responding to Jesus. Jesus had gotten there about the fourth day, and she was like, let me give it a little background. Jesus, Lazarus, Martha and Mary, they were friends. Martha and Mary and Lazarus were brothers and sisters, and Jesus was their friend. And so, Jesus actually delayed getting to Lazarus when they found out, he got word that he was sick. And he took his time getting there. And so I can't imagine how they must have felt knowing that their brother was dying or had already died, and Jesus was just taking his sweet old time getting there. But this is not the first time Jesus raised someone from the dead. He did it in Mark chapter 5. He raised Jairus' daughter. In Luke chapter 7, he raised the widow of Nain's son while in a funeral procession. So the difference between this miracle, the two miracles, the two raisings of the dead, and Lazarus, was the fact that people said, well, I don't know if they were really, really dead. They may have been falling asleep. They may have been unconscious. They may have, we just revived them. But with Lazarus, there was no mistake. Jesus waited. He gave it time. And he said, what happens, and I don't mean to be graphic, but after 3 days in the body, the cells start to break down. The odor is terrible from the gases emitted. Maggots are everywhere. The blood drains and pools at the lowest part of the body. Rigor mortis sets in and then it goes away. This can happen even faster in the Middle East because of the hot climate. So by the time Jesus got there, he was good and dead, if I could use that term. And they knew that he was dead. And I like how the King James puts it. One of the sisters said, Lord, if, he said, roll the stone away. He said, he stinketh. in verse 35, it says, Jesus showed emotion. It says, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. You remember that when we used to do your Easter sayings and everything? I was glad to get that one. You didn't have anything to remember. But he didn't weep because he was weeping over Lazarus. He was weeping because he was weeping for the people. For how sad it was that they were in their sins. They had no hope. But see, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do before he got there. So he wasn't sad over Lazarus. He knew that he was going to raise him. And so he raised him. And that was a nail in the coffin as far as we got to get rid of this guy. He's causing too much trouble. Jesus thing, he's raising people from the dead. Lazarus was gone. His heart started beating again. His blood got fresh again. The flies went away. The maggots went away. He told them to come forth. And when the Lord tells you to come forth, you don't have any choice. And they said, loose him, take the bandages off. So even about his own life in John chapter 10, 18, Jesus said this, no man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment I have received from the Father. In Philippians 3:10, he says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, he died. He died. He died until the earth began to rumble. He died until the light of the sun was switched off. He died until the Roman centurion said, this must be the Son of God. But that's not how the story ends. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. But on the third day, I said on the third day, he rose with all power in his hand. Not some power, but all power. He has defeated the last enemy, and that last enemy is death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. The person, the proof, and the power of the resurrection. Today you have heard the word and now you have to make a choice. Are you going to trust the person, the proof, and the power of the resurrection, or are you going to reject it? Amen.
Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, let's give these men of God a hand clap of praise. It's Resurrection Sunday morning. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for this day. Your Son, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask right now, dear Lord, that you would clear every heart and every mind of whatever may be hindering them as I make this call to salvation. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do, what you have done, and what you're doing right now. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving that all of God's children say amen. 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 You may be seated temporarily. Paul said, the main reason that Jesus died is because all of us, if he died for us, and I say all of us, the ones that want to be saved, there was no other way to eradicate sin except when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was resurrected. And he said, we are all sinners. We sin just because of our nature. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And what could we do with ourselves? With nothing. A little baby is born, he's crying. You think he wants milk, he wants to be hell. He already told a lie. we can't help it. That's the way we are. But we got a Savior named Lord Jesus Christ that gave his life just for you and me to have eternal life with him. I come to tell you, it doesn't get any better than that. When you're understanding who Jesus Christ is, when you understand it's three persons in one Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are in sync. Is there one in this congregation this morning, and I'm not going to hold you long, that does not know Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I'm going to ask you just to get out of your pews and come on down front. What a better day it is. There's not a better day it is under heaven to be saved except the day that Jesus Christ got up from the grave. Is there one? Is there one? I don't want to send the squad to pull you out your seat because you know you're not saved, but all thanks be unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if there is one in the congregation that is saved and does not have a church home, we ask that you would come out the pew and come down front and be saved. Is there one? Is there one? It's easy as ABC. Admit, believe, and confess. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave. And confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible says that simple, you will be saved. Is there one? Amen. Let us all stand. Thank you all for attending our worship service this morning. I'm going to ask that you would come down and greet these hard preaching preachers this morning. Let's give them a hand clap. I would be remiss if I didn't say, let's give this dynamic choir a hand clap. Just remember, this day, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave for our sins, for our goodness, for our sake. Let's look to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You are dismissed. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the Word, his leadership, and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo. We'll be right back.